years to think of Allah and do this to Him.
Shaykh al-Fawzan also makes a point that our belief in Allah itself and in His name, or our belief in Allah and our belief in the angels and so on, this also is part of the ghaib. Because no one in this life has seen Allah. So then he makes a point that our belief in Allah and in His names and His attributes and in His sole right to worship is based upon what? Because we don't see Allah. So our belief in Him and His names, His attributes, His sole right to worship is based upon what then? What is it based upon? If we don't see, it's not based upon the fact that we see Allah, because we don't see Allah in this life. Iman in something that's based upon Iman in based upon we have Iman in Allah, no doubt, and it's from the Iman in the Ghaib, but he mentions based upon something, but not based upon the fact that we see Allah, because we don't see Allah. So rather based upon the fact that what do we, something that we do see. He mentions that we, our Iman in Allah and His names, His attributes, His sole right to worship is based upon that which we do see from His creation, from the great signs that He has placed in His creation, the great signs that prove all of this, that He has placed within His creation, and likewise in the true reports that He has sent, in the text of the Qur'an and the text of the authentic Sunnah. So our Iman in Allah is based on those two things. The true reports that have been sent to us by Allah the Most High, and in the magnificent signs that He has placed in His creation, which prove the correctness of our belief in Allah the Most High, in His names, His attributes, and His sole right to worship. I mean, the signs of His kingdom, the signs of His rububiyyah, the signs of His lordship, all of it being a proof of His sole right to worship, and so on. Now and then, the Imam, he continues with a section here which is a continuation of this matter of Iman in the Ghaib, Iman in the Hidden and the Unseen. So it continues on page 192 of the Egyptian copied edition and page 188 of the Saudi edition. The Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues, وَيَجِبُ الْإِيمَانُ بكل ما أخبر به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, and it is obligatory to have Iman in everything which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed of. And it is obligatory to have Iman, to truly believe in everything which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed of. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, as for having Iman in a part of it and of disbelieving in a part of it, then this is kufr. This is to disbelieve in all of it. If a person starts to pick and choose from that which is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he informed of, that I believe in this part but I don't believe in that part, and the Shaykh said, doing that, believing in a part of what he informed of and not believing in a part, is actually to disbelieve in all of it. In other words, that shows that you don't believe in the truth of the one who came with all of it, because Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with all of it, you only believe in a part of it. So as he said, this is to disbelieve in all of it. So we have Iman in everything which he informed of, that which our intellects can picture, and that which our intellects cannot picture. Our intellects have no scope for entering into this, because they are deficient, and they do not fully encompass all things. Nothing fully encompasses all things. except Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Then the quote from the Imam Ibn Qudama continues, صَحَّ بِهِ النَّقْلُ عَنْهُ, which is authentically transmitted from him. So it's a continuation of the point before, and it is obligatory to have Iman in everything which the Prophet ﷺ informed of, which is authentically transmitted from him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, so as long as the chain of narration is authentic, then it is obligatory to have Iman in the hadith. As long as its chain of narration is sahih, is authentic. And he is informing us about affairs which are hidden and unseen. Then it is obligatory upon us to believe and to have Iman. With that condition, as long as the chain of narration is authentic, the Honest Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is authentically telling us something about the ghaib, then we have to believe. We have to believe it, we have to have Iman in it. Then he said, Shaykh al-Fawzan, as for if its chain of narration is not authentic, then we are not required to have Iman in it. It's something that's reported, but the chain of narration is not authentic. Then in that case, we are not required to have Iman in it. So it is essential that the chain of narration is authentic with the scholars of the people of Hadith. So when it is authentic, then there is no speech remaining for anyone. Now he made the point as well, meaning the chain of narration authentic, with who? With the people or scholars of Hadith. The people of Hadith, if they hold that chain of narration to be authentic, after that there's no speech. We have to accept it, the narration of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we believe it, we have to have Iman in it, in what is contained in it. Then the quote from the Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah continues, فِيمَا شَاهَدْنَاهُ أَوْ غَارَ عَنَّا نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ حَقٌ وَصِدْقٌ وَسَوَاءٌ فِي ذَلِكَ مَا أَقَلْنَاهُ أَوْ جَهِلْنَاهُ وَلَمْ نَعْطَلِعْ عَلَى حَقِيقَةِ مَعْنَاهُ. He said, continuing, with regard to whatever we have seen, or whatever is hidden from us, we know that it is the truth and is true. It is just the same in that regard, whether we comprehend it with our intellects, or whether we do not comprehend it and are not aware of the full reality of its meaning. In the like of these reports, and it's authentic from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regard to something from the hidden and the unseen, be it from the future, be it from the past, then with regard to these reports, as the Imam said, with regard to whatever we have seen or whatever is hidden from us, whether we've seen it or we haven't seen it, we know that it is the truth and is true. It is just the same in that regard, whether we comprehend it with our intellects or whether we do not comprehend it and are not aware of the full reality of its meaning. All the same. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, in explanation, meaning, there is no difference between what we see and what we do not see. Obviously, all of this being in the context that was originally mentioned with regard to those, that which is authentically reported from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he told about. So he said, meaning there is no difference between what we see and what we have not seen. It is obligatory that we have Iman in all of it. Just as if you were seeing the hidden and the unseen. Just as if you were seeing it, you still have to have Iman, just as if you were seeing it. because you have been told about it by the Truthful One, whose truthfulness is attested to. You have been told by As-Sadiq Al-Masdud. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed you about it. The Truthful One, As-Sadiq Al-Masdud, whose truthfulness is attested to. The one who does not speak upon the basis of his own desires, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is just like that which you have actually seen, just the same. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about some people who are hidden and the unseen. We haven't seen it, but he told us about it. So that thing is just the same to us as something we've actually seen with our eyes, just the same. Shaykh said, it is just the same in that regard, and making a further point, and it is just the same in that regard, whether it is something which our intellects can picture, or whether it is something which our intellects cannot picture. The intellects have no scope for entering into this. The affairs of the ghaib, the affairs of the hidden and the unseen cannot be pictured by the intellects, by the uqul. And then Shaykh Fawzan gives an example of this, something from the hidden and the unseen that cannot be pictured by the mind, by the intellect. He said, for example, the punishment of the grave, Adhab al-Qabr. For example, the punishment of the grave, and that it is a garden from the gardens of paradise, or a pit from the pits of the hellfire. This cannot be pictured by the intellects of men. And so therefore, some people say, they say, the deceased will turn to dust. And if we were to dig him up, or if we were to dig into his grave, we would not find any fire in it. مَا وَجَدْنَا عِنْدَهُ نَارًا وَلَا وَجَدْنَا عِنْدَهُ جَنَّةً. These are two words we see, وَلَا is missing there before the وَجَدْنَا, the second وَجَدْنَا. It should be, مَا وَجَدْنَا عِنْدَهُ نَارًا وَلَا وَجَدْنَا عِنْدَهُ جَنَّةً. As some people say, the dead person, he will turn to dust. And if we were to dig up the grave, we would not find any fire in it, nor would we find there any paradise. This is what some people will say. Those are just based things upon the intellect. They say, if the grave is truly either a garden from the gardens of paradise, or a pit of fire from the hellfire, then okay, let's dig. Like if we dig a grave, dig it out, will we find either of those two? We won't see anything from that. Shaykh Fawzan said in response, we say, this is not from the world that is seen. This worldly life, it's not from that. This is from the world of the hereafter, which is not known except to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And you do not perceive it. And it is not a condition that for something to be correct and to have happened, that you must have seen it. That's not a condition. That you believe something is correct or believe it's actually happened, you've got to see it, otherwise I'm not going to believe it. It's not a condition that for something to be correct or to have happened, you have to have seen it. The Shaykh said, there are things present which you do not see. And you do not witness them. But they are present, but you do not notice them at all. And then he gives an example. He says, for example, from something close to this is, and then he mentions a case, and we may draw this matter closer to our minds, help us to understand this matter. There are realities, that they are realities, but we don't see them. The fact that we don't see them or perceive them ourselves doesn't mean that they are not realities, doesn't mean they are not happening. As we give punishment to the grave or the bliss of the grave, just because we don't think this, we're still alive, we don't witness either of those two, it doesn't mean it's not happening. And he gives an example from the life of this world. He says, for example, from something close to this is two people who are sleeping side by side. This one is sleeping with a peaceful, delightful, pleasant sleep. And this one is sleeping with a disturbed, troubled sleep, which is filled with disturbing nightmares and troubling disturbances. And this one is side by side with that one. And this one does not perceive what the other one experiences. And this one does not experience what that one, or this one does not perceive what that one experiences. She says, meaning they're side by side, two people side by side. One can be having a lovely peaceful sleep, the other one is having terrible nightmares. The one who is having the peaceful sleep knows nothing about the nightmares. The one who is having the nightmares knows nothing about the peaceful sleep, and they're side by side together. The Shaykh said, so if this is the case with regard to the affairs of this world, then how about the affairs of the hereafter, which are not known except to Allah? Obviously, if a person, if those two people woke up and one said, I had terrible dreams last night, I had a terribly disturbed sleep, and the other one said, you liar, I never felt anything from that. You know, I had a lovely peaceful sleep, and the other one said, well, you're a liar, you know, I had a terrible, you know, it wouldn't make any sense at all. Even though they're side by side, one can have terrible sleep, terrible nightmares, the other one has a totally peaceful sleep, and each one is not aware of what the other one goes through. So how about things like the punishment of the grave, which are affairs of the next life? Then the Shaykh said, so if this is with regard to the affairs of this world, then how about the affairs of the hereafter, which are not known except to Allah? And likewise, the dead from them, those people who are dead, there are some who are in bliss, and there are some who are suffering torment, even if some of them are side by side. If they're buried side by side, some people are suffering, are experiencing bliss, some of the dead are experiencing bliss, enjoyment, and others are experiencing punishment, torment, even though they may be side by side. So this one does not perceive the bliss of that one, and this one does not perceive the torment which that one is experiencing. Each one has his own ruling upon him. This is the ability of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, which is such that it is not rendered incapable by anything, or it is not incapacitated by anything. And Allah has screened away from us the affairs of the hereafter. And the punishment of the grave is from the affairs of the hereafter. So we have iman in it, based upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having informed about it. So we have iman. We truly believe that the deceased person will be punished or will experience bliss, even though we do not experience it, or even though we do not perceive it, and we do not see it. I mean, once we are still alive in this life, we can pass by a grave, we can even look into a grave, if they dug it up, we wouldn't perceive it. Is the person in that grave, is he being tortured, is he being given bliss? We wouldn't perceive it. He said, and it's being screened away from us is a mercy upon us. And he gives proof for this. Why the bliss of the grave, or more particularly the punishment of the grave being screened away from us that we don't see it. Why is this a mercy upon us? He gives the evidence. He says, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَوْلَا أَنْ لَا تَدَافَنُوا لَسَأَلْتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُسْمِعَكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ أَحْلِ الْقُبُورِ مَا أَسْمَعَنِي. He quotes the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, if it were not for the fact that you would no longer bury the dead, I would have asked Allah to let you hear something from the torment of the people of the graves. Simply from the torment of the inhabitants of the graves, that which he caused me to hear. In a footnote here, they mention this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in the Musnad from a hadith of Anas, and it is a hadith whose chain of narration is sahih, authentic. As a side point, then Shaykh al-Albani, likewise he declared this hadith sahih, authentic, in As-Sahiha, number 158. Just in case someone wants, as a further side point, in case someone wants an easy chain of narration to learn along with the hadith, then this hadith is reported with a number of different wordings by Imam Ahmad, one of them being that Imam Ahmad reports in his Musnad, volume 3, page 201, Yazid narrated to us that Humayd related to us from Anas that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith continues. So it's a hadith which is thawafi. There's only three narrators between Imam Ahmad and between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ahmad narrated from Yazid, he related it from Humayd, from Anas the companion radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a date palm grove belonging to Banu Najjar, and he heard a sound. So he said, what is this? So they said, the grave of a man who was buried in the times of ignorance. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْلَا أَنْ لَا تَدَافَنِمْ لَدَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَنْ يُسْمِعَكُمْ عَذَابُ الْقَبَرِ. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, If it were not for the fact that you would stop burying the dead, I would have supplicated to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, that He should let you hear the punishment of the grave. And back to the text, so Shaykh Fawzan mentioned the hadith, and then he said, so Allah, the Majestic and Most High, has screened this away from us as a mercy upon us. We don't hear the dead being tormented in the graves. This is a mercy that we don't hear this. He said, because the dead person will be struck in his grave, and he will scream out with a scream which will be heard by everything except for athaqulain, except for mankind and jinn. And if a person heard it, he would fall unconscious. The Shaykh said, meaning, when it says fall unconscious, meaning he would die. He would just be unconscious, he would swoon, he would fall dead. So therefore it is from the mercy of Allah that He has screened this away from us, and we do not hear it, and we do not see it as a mercy upon us. So the affairs of the hereafter analogy cannot be made between affairs of the hereafter and the affairs of this life. Analogy cannot be made between affairs of the hereafter and the affairs of this life. And the first of the affairs of the hereafter is the punishment of the grave. For it will be the first stage from the stages of the hereafter. And what occurs in it is from the world of the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen, which is not known except to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Then Imam Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, he moves on and mentions an example of this, an example of the things from the hidden and the unseen, he said, مِثْلُ حَدِيثِ الْإِسْرَاءِ وَالْمِعْرَاجِ, such as the hadith of the Isra, the night journey, and the Mi'raj, and the ascent through the heavens. Such as the hadith of the night journey and the ascent through the heavens. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, from the reports which Allah has informed us of and His Messenger is al-Isra al-Mi'raj, the night journey and the ascent, and the ascent of the Prophet ﷺ through the heavens. He said, Allah the Majestic and Most High said, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِأَرْضِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. The ayah with the explanation, perfect is he, the one who took his slave on the night journey. Or perfect is the one who took his slave on the journey by night from the sacred mosque. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning from the noble city of Makkah. إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. And there should be إِلَى in the Egyptian, this Egyptian print is missed out, إِلَى from the next part of the ayah. إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. With the explanation, to Masjid al-Aqsa, to the farthest mosque, in the mosque in Jerusalem. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in Palestine, أَلَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. This being the first ayah from sort of Isra, the 17th surah, with the explanation, the neighborhood of which we have blessed, so that we should show him from our signs. So that we should show him from our signs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, between Mecca and Palestine, there is a distance which is crossed by a camel rider in 1 month. It takes a man on a camel a month to travel that distance. Whereas the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken on that journey in a single night. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back in that night. Jibreel alayhi salam came to him whilst he was asleep in Mecca and carried him upon Al-Buraq, which was a riding beast which was ridden by the prophets. And he went with him to Jerusalem, to Bayt al-Maqdis. And then he took him up to the heavens with his spirit and his body, whilst he was awake, not asleep. It was not a dream. Whilst he was awake, not asleep. In a footnote here, they mention, with regard to the hadith about this night journey and the ascent through the heavens of Isra wal Mi'raj, you can refer to the tafsir of Ibn Kathir at the beginning of this surah, sort of Isra, the 17th surah. Because Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar mentions a number of different narrations and chains of narration in that regard. Also, if you're able, you can get Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he gathered a number of ahadith in that regard in a small booklet, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. On the same topic, Shaykh al-Albani gathered the ahadith about this topic, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. So the Isra being the night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then the Mi'raj being the ascent on the stairway up through the heavens. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and this was from the signs of Allah the Perfect and Most High, and from the miracles of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ascent, the Mi'raj, and the ascent on the celestial stairway is mentioned at the beginning of Surah An-Najm, 53rd Surah, and in Al-Isra, the 17th Surah, which is mentioned at the beginning of Surah Bani Israel. The same surah, the 17th surah, has two names, Surah Al-Isra and Surah Bani Israel. Both of these refer to the same surah, the 17th surah. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. The explanation, perfect is the one who took his slave, his abd, on the journey by night. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, this word sari means to travel by night. And Allah, the Majestic and Most High, says in Al-Isra, I mean in Surah Al-Isra, the ayah we had before, لِنُرِيَهُمْ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, with the explanation, in order to show him from our signs. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so he showed him from his signs during this night amazing things from the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. And he saw paradise and the fire, and he saw the people of the fire in it, and he saw the people of paradise in it. And Allah spoke to him with what he wished from his revelation. And he made obligatory upon him the five obligatory prayers from above the seven heavens. And then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, descended to the earth. Then he came back to Mecca, all in a single night. And in the morning he informed the people. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so the people who had iman were increased in their iman, because they had believed in him from the beginning. So since they had believed that he was indeed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they would not accuse him of lying. And so therefore, when it was said to Abu Bakr, your companion says such and such, and claims that he went to Jerusalem and went up through the heavens and came back in a single night. So he said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when they told him this, he said to them, if he has said this, then it is just as he has said. If he said this, then it is just as he said. I believe him with regard to news coming from the heavens. Shall I not believe him about this? Shall I not believe him about this? And as a side point here, then this narration of what the people said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and his response, with this response here, that they were trying to cause him to doubt, look, your companion, look what he's saying now. So he didn't doubt at all, he was even firm in iman. He was just as firm in iman. And this report is reported by Al-Hakim, volume 3, page 62, as declared authentic due to its supports by Shaykh Al-Albani in As-Sahihah, hadith number 306. And at the end of this report it mentions, so that is why Abu Bakr was called As-Siddiq. That is why Abu Bakr became called As-Siddiq. I mean, the one who attested to the truth. And when this happened, the night journey happened, the next day when the people went to him, Abu Bakr, to try and cause him to doubt, look what your friend's saying now, he said, if he said it, here's the truth. So that is why he is called As-Siddiq, the person who attested to the truth. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan, back to the text, or the explanation here, Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, as for those people who were weak in iman and the unbelievers, then they took this incident as a means to mock the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from those who were weak in iman were some who left Islam. And the unbelievers were delighted at that. However, the Isra, the night journey, and the Mi'raj, the ascent through the heaven, is something true. And it is a miracle from the miracles of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was one of the greatest favors bestowed by Allah upon this nation of Muhammad. So having iman in it is obligatory And it happened in a state of being awake. It was not a dream. In the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this happened to him whilst he was awake. It wasn't just a dream. Because no one denies dreams. The Quraysh did not deny dreams. So if it had been a dream, the Quraysh would not have denied it. Because they believed in dreams. I mean, they believe that dreams happen. The person said, I saw such and such in my dream, but how amazing. He said, I don't believe it. Well, it's a dream, it's only a dream. So he said, if this were a dream, what happened to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Quraysh would not have denied it. He said, because Quraysh did not deny dreams. They believed in dreams. And also, Allah the Majestic and Most High said, in the second proof here, that's the first proof, the second proof, that this happened to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst he was awake, not as a dream. The second evidence is Allah the Majestic and Most High says, Asra bi abdihi. In this ayah from the first ayah from Surah Al-Isra, Asra bi abdihi. With the meaning, he took his slave, his abd, on the night journey. And the word al-abd, a servant, a slave, refers to the soul and the body combined. So the person's soul on its own, the ruh, the person's soul on its own is not called abd, a slave. And the person's body on its own is not called slave. Rather, the spirit and the body together, that is the abd, that is the slave. So Allah the Most High did not say he took the soul of his Prophet or the like of that. Rather, he took his slave, which is his body, and his spirit together. Then Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continued, وَكَانَ يَقَظَةً لَا مَنَامًا. And it was in a state of being awake. It was not a dream. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because if it had been a dream, then Quraysh would not have denied it. And no one denies dreams. So it was not a dream. Yes, dreams did occur for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, in things which were other than the night journey and the ascent through the heavens. In other stories. We find other hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I had a dream last night and such and such. But this is not the case of that. He didn't say this was a dream and it wasn't a dream. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah continued, فَإِنَّ قُرَيْشًا أَنْكَرَتْهُ وَأَكْبَرَتْهُ وَلَمْ تَكُنْ تُنْكِرُ الْمَنَامَاتِ. He said, since Quraysh denied it and held it to be something incredible, but they had not used to deny dreams. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they do not deny dreams, and no one denies dreams from the believers or from the unbelievers, since they are something which happens. Obviously meaning, even a person, what a person says in the dream, like it was flying through the air, flew through the air, flew all the way around the world, and somebody believes it. If it's a dream, somebody might believe it, so it could happen, a dream can happen. So if Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the night journey, and he sent through the heavens, if it was just a dream, then Quraysh would not have denied it, because all sorts of things can happen in dreams. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And then the Imam continues with further matters from the hidden and the unseen. He mentions further examples, which we'll take or continue with next time, inshallah. Any points of clarification?
Further details go to the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. But then you mentioned Ibn Hajar mentions different reports. I think it's you mentioned Ibn Hajar mentions the different reports. So I think it's Ibn Kathir mentions the different reports.
Why? Ask Ibn Hajar?
Yeah.
Oh, Jazakallah khair. Just a correction of something I said then. When I said there was a footnote, they mentioned a footnote here, but with regard to the Isra and Mi'raj, you can refer to the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir at the beginning of Surah Al-Isra. Apparently I said Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar. Then the reality is, of course, that Tafsir ibn Kathir is written by Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, not Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar. That was a great slip of the tongue there. If you refer to Tafsir ibn Kathir, of course, you'll find the words of Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, not Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar. Rahimahum Allah. May Allah have mercy upon the both of them. Ha ha ha.